No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I said, I'll kill you.
Yeah, here we go.
I hate it when they're on national television. It's so bad.
Yeah, it is comical every time he does it. All righty. Well, speaking of comical, we are back on a Tuesday night. No, I'm just kidding. We're back. Welcome back. Simon's going to be joining us any minute. We are recapping the Packers' loss to the Eagles, and we're doing things kind of a little bit differently today. We're going to be still recapping it, but the main focus is going to be how to improve from this game going into what will be the 2025 regular season. So that's kind of where we're focusing on our recap analysis. You know, we're not going to be like going through third down percentages and being like, here's where they can be better. Like, we're just going to kind of focus on what we want to see improve for the 2025 season as we go through our recap. And then we're also going to give our top five consensus reasons to be optimistic for the 2025 season. All the guys and I each compiled our own five lists, and then I kind of made a consensus list for the five of us on reasons to be optimistic for next season. So let's get into the recap, and then we'll talk about some off-season stuff.
Welcome to another live episode of the Wisco Fanatic Show, where we discuss the Packers, Bucks, Brewers, Badgers football, and basketball from an optimistic perspective. Wisco Fanatics is brought to you by Cardboard Legacy, Wisconsin's most complete sports card shop. Buy, sell, grade, and consign all at their location in Oshkosh.
Alrighty, so jumping right in, Jake, I'm going to go to you first and start with the pass rush.
Yeah, so I don't know how to go about this. All right, here we go. So pass rush, obviously, in my opinion, just it wasn't good enough. Very inconsistent. If we're going on a season total kind of aspect of it, very up and down. There was days where it dominated, and there was quarters, there was drives where it dominated, and there was drives and games and days where it was kind of non-existent at times. And I'm just going to say this, and this is not an excuse. We're in the first season with a new defensive coordinator. We saw a lot of good things, right? We saw kind of a new attitude in the building, starting with training camp all the way up to the last season. There was guys playing with an edge, and there's comments that we're going to get to towards the end of the show when we talk about something else, switch to a different segment. That I agree, Brandon. They just play with a better attitude. But, you know, there's things that they got to do. They got to go out, and I think they have to get another an alpha in that room. Rashawn Gary has alpha talent, doesn't carry himself with it all the time. Kenny Clark, I love Kenny, but he just doesn't seem hungry anymore. I hate to say it like that, but that's what it looks like to me. When you watch a T.J. Slaton, you watch a Brooks, those guys are hungry. You could tell they're going after it every single step that they're in there. Gary at times doesn't seem hungry as well. You know, his motor was nonstop before he got paid, and that sucks to say, but it's the truth, and somebody needs to say it, right? I expect it to be a little bit better. I like that we were running some more stunts. I like that we were running some uneven fronts. Those are good things. Those are good changes. Those are positive changes. So. In terms of scheme, I like where the pass rush is headed. In terms of maybe the right guys in the room, maybe not. But that remains to be seen. There will be lots of work in there. The Packers have a lot of cap room, a lot of opportunity this offseason to improve in a lot of areas. But I know. But I don't think – I'm just going to say this before we get into it. I don't think pass rush should be number one or number two on anybody's list.
Sure.
It wasn't that bad. Like I said, it had its moments.
Right.
And, yeah, I'll say, too, if I can hop in real quick.
Yeah.
Well, first on Gary, I do think we paid him based on what I thought we thought his potential could be, and he really hasn't reached that. This is, you know, I know sack numbers aren't everything, but he hasn't even recorded a double-digit sack season. And, yeah, pressures are great, but eventually you want to get home, too, because – you know, a sack for 7 to 8 yard loss is much better than, okay, they had to throw the ball away. But I think for pass rush, you're kind of, I agree with you. I don't think it is a need, but I don't think it's a huge need because we've seen what Edrin Cooper can do passing the, or rushing the passer. And same with Quay Walker. And those dudes weren't healthy the whole season. You know, that happens. And Cooper was still getting kind of in the mix. I think when, you know, next year, say they're fully healthy, you could see those guys pop off for 5-6 sacks each, like, and maybe more from edge because, I mean, he is so explosive. So I think that could help the pass rush a lot too. But, yeah, you're right with Kenny Clark and Gary. Those two are our highest paid players on defense aside from Jaw, which I think we all think is going to change this year. They need to be better.
And I've said this too, you know, Jake, you brought up the system with Halfley. I brought this up when people are talking about Lucas Van Ness, you know, and people labeling him a bust right away. And it's like, he's got 2 years in the NFL and he's played in two pretty drastically different schemes.
It's fair.
And we saw after the Preston Smith trade, we've brought the numbers up multiple times that his pass rush win rate numbers are pretty good. So, I mean, I get that it's only, you know, a quarter of his time in the NFL, but we've seen good things from Lucas Van Ness, not to mention that I think he's actually gotten pretty decent in the run defense as well. Something that the Packers offensive line in the, and I was on a transition here, in the scheme of the defensive line and people being so caught up in the pass rush did not give the defensive line enough credit for what they did in the run game.
I think what you run into with Lucas Van Ness, though, is since he was such an early, he was an earlier first round pick that people are kind of expecting more out of him right away. But if he doesn't do something this next year, then you have to put him in the bust realm because he was picked so early. But there's, if you go by that methodology, that means there's 10 busts a draft in the first round. You know what I mean?
At least.
Yeah. So people aren't panning out all the time or becoming, oh, he was what was the 9th overall?
It's not a guarantee that a first round is going to be an all pro or a pro bowler.
Yeah.
Pretty sure Van Ness was 13th. It was the Jets pick.
Okay. Yeah, he was 13th. Yeah.
Because he was the Jets pick, right? So.
Yeah. Adarian said, I'm sure Green Bay might want to go after another edge rusher in terms of scheme fit. I could absolutely see that. It's just not something that we think should be number one on the list of priorities for,
I just, yeah,
for the day after the Super Bowl.
I don't think they're going to go sign Max Crosby for $30 million a year.
Or they'd have to trade for him first. But yes, I understand what you're saying. Okay, so for me, looking at the defensive line, something that I said going into this game was, as the defense, as Devontae Wyatt goes, so goes the defensive line. Devontae Wyatt was lost at halftime. I'd like to see another pass rusher added, strictly for the fact that we've had guys missing games, and as we go into the offseason, we're going to be planning trade shows, free agent shows, and definitely the draft. We get very heavily into the draft during the offseason. Other than that, I want to see another year in the system and another year of development from guys like Lucas Van Ness and Kingsley Enagbare and Carl Brooks and Colby Wooden and Brenton Cox, and see what those guys can do in the second year of Jeff Hafley's system. Brian, how did you feel about the linebackers and tackling and how they go forward?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, something that's kind of, you know, overall, I'm going to say the defense did their job. The defense did their job in this game. Unfortunately, once the offense started to get two drives going in the second half, the one and then the touchdown, unfortunately, defense gave up points afterwards. But they did everything they could to keep Green Bay in that game for as long as possible. And they really should have. Eagles were giving up 20 points a game. We only scored 10 on them, and our offense was near 26 points a game or whatever. The linebackers, unfortunately, they really make too many splash plays. Neither Quay Walker or, you know, Edge Cooper had tackles for losses or anything like that on the stat sheet. I thought they were fine and solid. They definitely did get – there was plenty of times that Saquon got held up for a, you know, 1-2 yard run, and Edge Cooper and Quay Walker were right there on those tackles. I think their speed definitely helps. It helps them get, you know, sideline to sideline and stuff. But there wasn't too many huge runs. I think, you know, Jalen Hurts got off on one, and then, you know, Saquon had the big one towards the end of the game. But I think at that point, people were, you know, it was over. You know what I mean? So overall, I thought they were fine. I don't think there was any huge, you know, Carrington Valentine could have tried to jump at, you know, the feet of Goddard or something and try to bring him down. But other than that, I don't think there was huge issues with the tackling either. It's just, honestly, the Eagles came out and they wanted it more, and they were way more physical than us. That's what it comes down to, kind of.
Especially in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Darian again brought up, if we go by rounds where it's picked, it's easy to call Lucas Van Ness and Eric Stokes a bust, as more was expected from them as first-round picks. Again, it's a scenario where not every single first-round pick is going to turn into an all-pro or a pro bowler. And like we just said, Lucas Van Ness has been in two different systems in his 2 years in the NFL. Yeah. And over the last, or the second half of the season, was a much better player than he was in the first half of the season or last year.
It also, I mean, and Goody's going to get some, you got to give him, yeah, you might bitch about his first round draft picks, but everything we've seen from Edge Cooper might say that he could one day be an all pro linebacker. Yeah. Are you going to really care who he picked for, you know, round one, unless it'd be like, oh, he didn't hit 100%, knock it out of the park as a pro bowler in that pick if he ended up taking an all pro in the second round? Probably not.
It's easy to cherry pick.
Yeah.
And I can promise you other teams have had much worse first round luck than the Packers have.
Yeah.
The other part of it is Eric Stokes hasn't been healthy. So you obviously are drafting players for what they can become, not for what is going to happen to them 3 years later. And then you'd be like, oh, well, he was drafted to be this.
If we knew the outcome of every pick,
every single draft would look insanely also different.
Insanely different, because the first 15 picks, maybe five of them would actually be first round draft picks in that draft.
Yeah, that obviously, Danny McCarthy's not going top 10 if they know he's getting injured.
Yeah,
like, I mean, halfway through the year, they did a redraft of the 2024 draft, and they had what they have Evan Williams like eighth overall, right? Eighth. And he was a fourth round pick. So, yeah. I mean, just look at how different that was. He went from pick 100 or whatever, 100 something, to number eight. So that, how many teams missed on him in the first round? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's a Philly thing, has the L's in the comments. If you get the chance, knock out the Lions. I guess that's all I can really ask for.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I have no, like, ill will for the Eagles. I'm not going to be like, oh, fuck the Eagles. Like, we don't have that.
Other than your fans are pieces of crap.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really just the city. Yeah, Philadelphia, the city. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but again, like, no ill will towards the team. Like, good luck.
The only thing I don't like about Philly is their coach. I just cannot stand Nick Sirianni.
Their fans can't stand.
I was going to say, some of their fans can't stand probably each other.
You know why they don't like each other? Because they're exactly the same.
Yeah. Exactly.
Darian said, I feel like we may revamp our cornerback room the same way we revamped our safety room. I can see Carrington Valentine as the only mainstay, but the other cornerbacks we may have be replaced.
Yeah.
Simon's going to talk about the secondary in a minute, so we can get to that, and then we'll definitely talk about stuff like that in the offseason. So, Jake, I don't know if you have anything specific you wanted to say on third and fourth downs.
Honestly, they had a pretty good percentage on third and fourth down, but this team is just a headache this year. Third down got better as the season went on, so I'll say that. But I'm going to save some of my thoughts, because I want to say something about the floor when we get there, so.
All right. Well, Simon, we'll go to you. What are you looking for from the secondary as far as the Eagles game is concerned and going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think going in this year, well, I'll just start with the Eagles game, I guess. This might have been their best game of the year. Jalen Hurts had 39 passing yards in, what, the first three quarters? And then on top of that, I mean, really, the only egregious play was the Carrington Valentine play that you guys talked about, and he just got kind of bullied and out muscled by Dallas Goedert on a play that I thought like that was the one play where I thought the defense would want it back, because they were playing like way off, and I knew it. As soon as they checked the Jalen Hurts checked the line, I knew it was gonna be a quick pass to the outside for a first down, and he just ended up getting more out of it. I think that was, Yeah, he's a good player. So it's not like he just got beat by some scrub, no name dude. Right. Like Dallas Goedert's a good player. Yeah. So that was really the only bad thing that happened. I mean, AJ Brown was held to nearly nothing for most of the game. I think he had one catch for 11 yards or something. So all in all, like, solid game out of the secondary. And going into the offseason, I think looking back last year, we were talking about like how bare our safety room was going in this year. And now I think we're kind of looking at it as a strength going into next year, where they probably won't even be touched, really. Yeah. I mean, I'm not touching it. Xavier McKinney, all pro. Evan Williams looks good. Javon Bullard looks like he can play a little bit. I mean, he had some struggles in coverage sometimes over the year, but he was a rookie. So all in all, I'm pretty excited to see the safety room. And I think they're going to definitely add to the cornerback room, and we'll see what happens with Jair Alexander. I wouldn't read, like, there's so many rumors and stuff going around. Yeah. Nobody knows what's going to happen at the end of the day. We'll see what happens with that, but they're definitely going to add to the cornerback room. And honestly, we might see what happens with Eric Stokes too. He really had a really good second half of the season. And if they want to put him on like a 1-2 year kind of like prove it deal to prove he's healthy and he can play, I'm all for it. Like, he played pretty damn well the second half of the season. I wouldn't mind bringing him back.
If we can give Kevin King a prove a deal, I think we can give Eric Stokes a prove a deal.
Yeah, oh, I agree.
I was thinking it. I'm not lying. I was thinking Kevin King right away. I was like, bro, this is like Kevin King again, bro.
Yep. I like Bullard. I like Bullard near in the slot near the line of scrimmage because he plays pretty physical.
Yeah.
And then even Oladapo, I mean, he finally got in the field just a little bit, and it seems like he wasn't completely out of place. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's young, but I do think that we can have that. So. And I forgot to mention even Tyron Hopper during my section was I think that he could do something too. I hope that nothing against McDuffie, but I kind of hope that Tyron takes that, at least grabs that and has an opportunity to take that spot going next year.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I'll throw in Zane Anderson. He's more of a special teamer, but I'm perfectly fine bringing him again on a 1-year veteran minimum deal as the sixth safety and a core special teamer.
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay. Jake, anything you wanted to say on the red zone defense at all?
The Eagles are going off this game. The Eagles are so hard to defend, man. You know, they got so many weapons. And, you know, talking about Dallas Goedert, you know, he kind of gets forgotten about, you know, because you have a Heisman Trophy winner at wide receiver. Then you also have a 6'3" specimen. You have Saquon Barkley, who is the best running back in the league. Then you have a quarterback that ran for 15 rushing touchdowns. I mean, they're a tough team to guard, man. And they have a pretty good play caller in Kellen Moore. He had some success in Dallas. He didn't have as much success in you know, Los Angeles. I almost said San Diego with the Chargers. But he revitalized his career, I think. I think he could get some head coaching looks over there. Maybe
he's actually already had an interview.
Yeah,
he's had one interview so far.
Okay.
Jaguars maybe.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. But I still want Ben Johnson to go to the Jaguars because I don't want him anywhere near the NFC right now. But you know, they're a tough team to guard. I thought the Packers they did have a good stand. I felt bad for the Packers defense right away after that fumble, and everybody was kind of getting on them about giving up a touchdown right away. I was like, dude, do you understand how hard that is? Like, to go out there, that crowd is all fired up, the team's fired up, you're kind of deflated in that moment. But they did have a couple good stands in the game. So, it's just tough. Going forward, obviously, I would like us to be a little bit better up the middle. That's kind of where it comes down to. And I'm not trying to step on Brian's feet here. He already talked about linebackers. But, yeah, I think the middle of the field is really the softest part of the Packers defense, especially in the red zone. I think on the boundaries we were fine, and we actually got really good at, you know, setting the edge on the run at times during the year. We also got killed on it every once in a while, but in the red zone especially, it was over the middle. Like, let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah. Adarian said Isaiah McDuffie and Eric Wilson are supposed to be free agents now, which gives Hopper an opportunity at a starting spot next year. It does. It gives him a shot at it. We'll see if that ends up being the case. I think we're probably going to end up doing linebackers strictly for the fact that McDuffie and Wilson are free agents. So we'll probably be doing linebackers in draft prep For that reason alone,
regardless. I think they're going to add to the room anyway.
Yeah, we won't need to do linebackers after we sign Fred Warner, so it's all right.
I'm in, dude.
Could you imagine him and Edge Cooper on the field together?
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine Fred Warner in Green Bay?
If that happened.
I will streak in the city of Green Bay if we sign Fred Warner.
It'd be like an Xavier
McKinney. It'll happen.
It'd be like a Xavier McKinney signing. It'd be insane.
I would do, like, as far as publicly allowed is, like, whether it's 5 minutes outside in a pair of swim trunks when it's 5 degrees outside, like, I'd sign up for that. Justin said Greenlaw. I mean, I don't like his injury history. That scares me a little bit. But
he's getting kind of banged up, yeah.
Yeah. Bryant, special teams.
Special teams, special plays, special players, right? definitely special players again. Oh my God, where do I start with it? I'm glad Keyshawn Nixon came out and said I'm done with returns because I'm done with him returning as well. He always wants to be the hero. There's too many times he's making mistakes. It's just but.
We have okay. Let me interject for just a second because Jake Elliott did a really good job of kicking the ball inside the 5 yard line. Yeah, there needs to be credit given to the Philly kicker. He did a good job of that.
Yes, that's true. It was like at the 2 yard line every time. Yeah, so
not excusing Nixon, but I'm just saying the credit needs.
But first off, the refs go f- yourself. Like that was a clear recovery. Even the announcer, he recovered it. Yeah,
twice.
It's like. So we're just allowing whatever happens at the bottom of the pile to allow at the bottom of the pile. And this goes back to what I said last week. And it proved, you know, and I've been saying it for this year, and I said it all last year, this team, because they're a young team right now, does not have resiliency. They do not have the ability to – it's like something bad happens, and it just completely flicks off. So when I seen that fumble, I know I'm the little more pessimistic one of the group, obviously, especially during the game. I literally was deflated, and I was like, we're going to – like, this is going to completely derail this entire game, and then – you know, we're already underdogs. And then what they do is they give him that call. They give him the ball there. For one, they miss a helmet to helmet. That was pretty obvious. And Keyshawn Nixon can be – a lot of the times you can't see who would recover that ball in a pile. And it's fine. It is what it is at that point. You can clearly see Nixon grab that ball and held onto that ball twice exactly and was touched down. So for them to turn around and give it to the Eagles is absolutely despicable and disgusting. And it was so frustrating. And you know the touchdown happens. Next play, Keyshawn Nixon takes out a return because he pretty much had to. And then there's a holding, and we're back at our 12-yard line.
Yep.
And then on top of it, McManus missed his kick. Look.
Yep.
I mean, for one, I was like, why is he on the right hash? I feel like I didn't go back. I didn't get a chance to look at it, but I feel like I recall every game when he kicked or the game when he kicked his making. He's on the left hash.
Or up the middle, I think the Jacksonville.
Or up the middle. And I don't recall seeing him on the right hash a lot. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? It just looked different when he was lining up. But look, for McManus, he missed a 38-yarder. First ever time he's missed a kick in the field, like the playoffs. At that point, you just know what's going bad for us. I still think 100% that they should sign McManus. They have found their kicker. Yeah. They should 100% sign him and bring him back. He is 33 years old. You should sign him to a 3-year contract and not think about kickers anymore unless he starts to fall off the table. So, but overall, guys, I'm kind of done with Rich Bisaccia too. Like, I'm done with him. Like, he had a good first season with us. It seemed to be better when Keyshawn was really getting some really good returns and stuff. Since then, it's been absolutely just piss poor.
Put in my coaching notes. This is his last chance. I'm gonna say 2025 is his last year. If they moved on the day after the Super Bowl, I wouldn't be like shocked.
Yeah,
but I would be okay with him getting 2025 because I think that's when his contract is done, and they just decide not to renew it.
And that's probably what they're gonna do. But for me, it's because I feel like if they were gonna move on, they probably would already you'd already started to hear hints of it. There's no reason really to wait to fire him. Unless there's some weird thing in their contract or whatever. But if I was rich, I would be like, well, if you're gonna let me go now so I can start interviewing. Yeah. But it's just either that or take more off his plate. He shouldn't be the assistant head coach. He should strictly be focused on special teams. Yeah. It's, there's nothing wrong with demoting someone that's not performing. It happens all the time in every job.
I think that would be another scenario where if they were going to do that, he'd be like, all right, just let me go.
And fine, if he wants to say, you know what, my performance hasn't been good enough, I'll go down and just focus on special teams. And if he says I'm not going to do that, then it's fine. Fine, kick rocks at this point.
Yeah.
Because you have not been good enough.
Yeah.
The special teams has not been ready. You're giving up stupid touchdowns to Chicago on trick plays. You're fumbling the ball. You're getting penalty after penalty. Your blocking isn't very good. Like, something just needs to change.
Some of those things are definitely on the execution of them. Like the fumbling, the going for the not seeing where the ball is going on the fake. Like, that's any single player on the field that's not excusable.
And you're right. It's execution. Players need to make plays. But when players continually are not playing plays and not executing, that falls on coaching.
And so, the blocking thing, I absolutely agree with. Like, that's a procedural thing.
Yeah.
So, like, that part of it, I absolutely put on him with that. Like, if you look at how many returns Nixon had, how many of them made it past the 30, or even if you wanted to go and say how many of them made it past, let's say, the 35-yard line, just to have a benchmark of what returns you would actually deem successful, not even just getting back to the place that you would have gotten to if you took the knee in the end zone.
Yeah, we definitely had like a negative starting position that based on the average of the 30-yard line this game, because he had to return the ball and we just could not block for it.
Yeah.
And it's obviously something Philly's seen on tape.
Adarian said, I'm about the attitude that Matt LaFleur has been doing a good job as our coach, but he has to do better in terms of play calling. So I'm going to say this. I think people are using bad play calling as just a blanket for everything that they don't like about the offense.
True.
The third and three play, I'm not trying to throw Jordan Love under the bus, but that play was canned at the line and changed by Jordan Love.
It was.
And people are putting that on the floor. It's not. That's on Jordan Love. Jordan Love made that call at the line based on what he saw at the line of scrimmage. That specific play. In general, I believe that people are using bad play calling as just kind of this blanket for things not going well offensively in any specific game whenever it comes to it. Because we've seen plenty of instances over the case of this season where the play calling is just masterful. Like the 49ers game, the Seahawks game, like games like that where the Packers were just scoring 30 points for 5 weeks in a row. Nobody had play calling with them. Steve, great regular season team. Steve, I just got to say this, as far as Bears fans are concerned, if you guys won 11 games, you'd be claiming Super Bowl the following season. Let's just be real.
You guys won week 13 and you're screaming from the hilltops.
Yeah. So let's pump the brakes on laying eggs, especially as a 7 seed. I don't really think that qualifies as laying an egg to lose to a team you're supposed to lose to.
Yeah.
Justin said, I think we have to decide whether we're going to be a running offense with Jacobs or a passing offense with Love. Not saying be lopsided, but we have to be good at one to open up the other. And they are. The Packers are a top 5 running offense. But my thing is, we have a top 5 running back. Please run more play action. I feel like the Packers ran more fakes out of run plays than they did on pass plays.
Yep.
I feel like they faked more runs on plays that they still ran the ball.
Yeah, 100%.
It's a feeling. I haven't confirmed this. Like, I haven't gone to rewatch the game and confirm it, but it felt like that. As an avid play action lover, let's please run more play action.
Yeah.
Just traditional play action. And I understand the thought of looking at your numbers and seeing, like, hey, we run the ball more successfully out of shotgun. I'm fine with that. But can we mix in some bootlegs? Something. Jordan Love ran the ball a few times and he looked good.
Also, we need to get a little bit more under center. I mean, that I understand the play, you know, the shotgun and opening things up and all this stuff, but you got to be able to go under center and power run every once in a while. You can't, I mean, and this is why I don't get on the floor, because I love his creativity in the run game. Yeah. But if you mix his creativity and mix it with, you know, some little old school play action dump offs, I still don't understand why we're not using Kraft up the seam. It makes no sense to me. You know, people are talking about, oh, he's not fast enough. I think he still recorded the fastest run time for a tight end on a touchdown this year. I could be wrong.
I thought that was like NFL history or something. But, it was something crazy.
But I saw I saw this tweet today from Brett Coleman. So I'm going to read the tweet. Jordan Love's stats on true dropbacks this season, including today. That was the playoff game. These are non-play action, non-RPO, non-screen pass attempts, just dropbacks and rip it, right? 57.7 completion percentage, 15 touchdowns, 15 picks, 7.5 yards per attempt, and a 77.6 rating. For context, among all quarterbacks on true dropbacks, has 26th in completion percentage, 27th in pass rating, and the worst touchdown to interception ratio amongst all starters. Run play action, Matt. It's really not that hard. And I saw his comments talking about, I feel like defenses didn't, you know, stick to their original game plan they were running all year. That is where coaching comes into to factor.
That's Matt. Adjustments.
You have to adjust to what they're running, Matt.
Yep.
And he was trying to do that, to his credit. You've seen him multiple times this year, sitting down with the iPad, going over things that he's seeing during the game. And yep. I respect that. But holy hell, dude, it's really not that hard to just drop it off to your tight end who gets 7 extra yards every time he touches the ball.
Yeah. Just give say they ran one this game and it got taken for a 2-yard loss. It's like you have to be picky about when you run it, and you have to get better execution on having it set up when you are running it.
Yeah, but you don't always have to run a tight end screen. You can run a an option route with them, you know? Give them the option.
I'd be down to see the Packers put some more trips formations together.
Yeah.
And have one of the trips be Tucker Kraft.
I think LaFleur likes it when he gets called a genius, because, you know, early in the year he was getting a lot of coach of the year, you know, talk with what he did with Malik Willis. But, you know, you have to combine that with just being a normal smart football coach, which he is. Matt LaFleur is a smart football coach. Yeah. I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but you got to be better in the you know, meat and potatoes kind of stuff, in my opinion.
Yeah. Steve said, "Go get T. Higgins." We'll discuss stuff like that. We'll talk about it. Justin said you have Viac, Monster, and Kraft. Steve also said Washington and Baltimore in the Super Bowl, calling it now. I'd be okay with that.
That's not happening, but I'd be fine with it.
I'd be okay with it.
They both probably. There's a good high chance they both lose this weekend.
Yeah, Washington's getting 50 dropped on them this weekend, bro.
I hope they drop 50 on them.
So we talked about Passaccia and LaFleur. I will just say I think we all across the board are pretty pleased with Jeff Hafley.
Yes.
Okay. Go into the offense and start with tight ends. Simon, how do you feel about the tight ends, and what do you want to see improve going into next season?
Yeah, Tucker Kraft had a pretty modest game through the air. Nothing too crazy. 5 for 5.
Glad they got the caveat through the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know we ran a couple times.
Yeah. But, I mean, Tucker Kraft still... He's a key piece of the run offense, too. He makes some really nasty blocks, and especially when you put him in motion and stuff. Outside of that, like, I don't think the tight ends really had much impact outside of that. None of the other tight ends had a catch this game. And then just blocking was kind of average, I guess, out of the other guys. Just not. Honestly, not a whole lot of snaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luke Musgrave had 15 snaps total. John Fitzpatrick had 1.
He didn't even make a catch or a touchdown. God, he's trash. Got him.
Yeah, caught him. Feature-wise, I'm pretty positive this tight end room will look pretty similar next year. I'm hoping Luke Musgrave has a little more luck in the injury game. Give him a full season. I like to see him utilized a little bit more. I think he was underutilized because of his injuries near the end of the year, and Tucker Kraft's just been so good. So a good healthy off season for him, and going into next season, I think we'll see a lot more of him next year. Maybe they'll look into some UDFA guys or some late round draft picks, to shore up that tight end 3, but Ben Sims has been pretty good, and I don't mind John Fitzpatrick either.
I agree with that. Bryant, wide receivers?
Yeah, this is tough. Obviously, you got Green Bay is going to have to really – I'm not going to start talking about T. Higgins because I don't think he's a $30 million a year quarterback. I don't think he's getting out of Cincinnati anyways. Without Jamar Chase, and yeah, I don't know that he leaves Cincinnati because they don't want to pay an offensive line. So
that's valid.
But Green, for this game, I mean, they're dropping like flies. For one, you had Watson out already. Romeo Doubs, I hope he's okay. That was pretty tough scene to see.
Yeah.
Even wearing the Guardian cap, I'm glad he had that on because maybe it helped it, you know, even less.
Even Jordan if it's only 10%, that's still.
Yeah. Jordan threw him a little bit of a hospital ball. I'll say get the damn guy a cart. I don't know why he's having to walk all the way back into the freaking locker room unless he requested that himself. But, like, dude, get him on a cart. Jaden Reed, turns out it was a dislocated shoulder, so I have no concerns going that, you know, there going forward. You know, Bo Melton didn't really have much of an impact. Malik Heath, the one touchdown he could have had, he slipped coming out of his break. People might complain, oh, that's on Jordan Love. It's like Jordan Love's already talking to throw that ball. The dude,
that was a good ball. That was a good ball.
That's the – remember in the preseason when I talked about Romeo Doubs have been, I guess, running this quick out on the in the end zone and no one can stop him? That was that play. If that's Romeo Doubs on the field, it's a touchdown probably.
I agree.
Now, when you want to start talking about the future, I think they have some work to do, and you might see one or two drafted this year because as much as we love the potential of all these guys – well, let me talk about Wicks. I thought Wicks had a really good game. He started to show stronger hands towards the end of the season, started making a little more tougher catches. That catch he made where he was getting covered, draped on, that was a really good catch.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I feel like the last six-ish games, his hands started to get a little bit better.
I agree.
Now, going forward, I feel like, you know, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, I think we have a lot of really good number three wide receivers and a couple pretty solid number or good, really good number two wide receivers. I would put Jaden Reed in that realm, but I think it is at this point where we might need to look at if a number one wide receiver or someone with speed even comes available, and it does not need to be a rookie or anything like that. The sad part is, and we will talk about this more later in the offseason and stuff, a wide receiver like Tyreek Hill is kind of what you need on this team with that kind of speed and that ability to destroy people deep. Christian Watson could be that, but he's just, as much as we hate it, you know, he's got some bad injury luck, and that's three years in a row. And now it's going to be pretty much all of – he's not going to really be part of the team in 2025 until maybe November, December at the earliest when you're talking a guy that's so reliant on their speed like that. So I feel like we have some good weapons in Wicks. We have some really – and Reed – are the two that I'm really kind of trusting right now to a certain degree. I love Romeo Doubs, but I just don't know. He's the type of guy I think that could retire like early. Unfortunately for what I really hate to see, and going on the personal side, is Doubs comes from a place that he didn't have a lot of money. He grew up, I'm pretty sure, in like Compton or something. That was not a good area to grow up into. And unfortunately, he really hasn't got paid yet. So I feel like he might be kind of, he feels like he's probably forced to at least get to a contract. So I hope that even if he has to take some time off, he'll be fine. He should be fine and healed up by the start of the season. But now it turns into trying to avoid another concussion. So I he'll be back. He'll still be a good wide receiver. But basically, I feel like now that we have those three with Doubs being up in the air, we probably need to add somebody. But I really hope Doubs is okay, and I hope he can not retire and he does get a payday to change the
What trajectory. I'd like to see Romeo Doubs do is kind of take the Tyler Lockett route.
Gosh, thinking it. Yeah, just get down. Just get down. I just want you to be healthy.
Yeah. Honestly, and it's a lot. I feel like a lot of his concussions have come from falling and hitting the ground. But someone else like Amon-Ra St. Brown does that too, and everyone gives him shit for sliding. He's like, and he said it on the sideline. He's like, I'm not. If I know I'm not getting any more yards, I'm going to go down. Why am I going to get injured?
Shame on you for protecting your brain and your future. Yeah.
So, well, you heard what Saquon said on that big run, right? But he didn't want to keep going. He said, "What if I would have tried to run that in? I would have pulled a hammy."
Yeah. And
completely fair. We've seen it happen with Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
Going back to last year, week one, he had a long touchdown run on a pass, ended up pulling his hammy. Same thing could have happened. So, I mean, it makes sense.
Yep.
So, hopefully, Romeo Doubs will be okay. I know it was a little long-winded there, but I do think they have some work to do. It's just, it'll be interesting what they do. Maybe bring in a veteran. I know people are going to start talking about Devontae and, Tyreek Hill wants out of there. I don't really want much of T. Higgins, kind of like you guys pointed out. T. Higgins has played literally the same amount of games as Christian Watson, so it's just another injury kind of prone player. As much as I love Christian Watson, it's going to be his label for now. Just really bad luck, though. And then there's not a whole lot on the table. And if you start looking at like someone like Garrett Wilson, that's going to be like a lot of trade capital. I don't think we're going to do that. So
we'll go through the trade free agency draft. We'll probably put wide receivers in the draft just because the Packers may have to like rebuild the room. If Malik Heath or Bo Melton decide they want to try for a bigger opportunity, like they might have to build out the room in the draft too, even if it's sixth and seventh round picks. So we'll probably do wide receivers in the draft this year. Adarian said in the future with tight ends, I'd like to see Luke Musgrave get used more in terms of keeping himself healthy and be more involved in production and offense, especially in terms of him being the security blanket that Romeo Doubs is. I don't know that I necessarily think Luke Musgrave is going to be the security blanket type guy, but he's the seam tight end, like the up the middle deep guy.
Dude,
that's what he's got.
I think he could be Mike Gesicki. I think he's a big athletic guy like that where you could put him in the slot. You teach him how to run a goddamn slant round. I think he could be that guy like Gesicki is for the Bengals. He's not a tight end. He's a big wide receiver.
Yeah, yeah. Justin said, I saw people saying get Amari Cooper. I feel like he's a little past his prime. It's 30 years gross. Keep Amari Cooper the fuck away from my team.
Yeah.
He is easily one of the most overrated wide receivers of the last decade, if not number one.
I don't hate Amari Cooper.
I don't hate him, but he's 30 years old. It's not going to – if I'm getting signed in a 30-year-old wide receiver, it's going to be Tyreek Hill or Devontae Adams.
Yeah. It's going
to
be Devontae
Adams. I'm not saying that he's, like, the best option out there. I just – depending on what happens with the other ones, I'm not hating on the Amari Cooper.
He's had some good game.
Yeah.
No, thanks. I'm assuming he meant to say top six. He said, we need a guard and or DB. How about for the first-round pick? I don't think they need a guard. I think they're fine at guard.
I don't think guard, but
if Jordan Morgan is not having a shoulder injury, Jordan Morgan goes in at left guard for Elgton Jenkins, and we don't lose a step. Justin said Wicks has started coming around. I was a huge critic of his, but got to give him credit. Absolutely. Adarian said, I can see us getting another wide receiver either through free agency or the draft or trade. I feel an established veteran presence at wide receiver will help develop our core. Possibly. I can see that. Looking in the passing game distribution, just kind of more of the same thing. If the Packers do bring in, an alpha type wide receiver, I'd still want to see the ball spread around. And I'm not saying that, let's say Devontae Adams, just for the sake of an example, if they bring in Devontae, that I'm saying that Devontae and Dontavian Wicks need to have the same number of targets, but it's more so not wanting to be in a position for the last 2 to 3 years of Aaron Rodgers, where Rodgers wouldn't throw the ball to anybody else except for Devontae Adams. That's what I want to avoid as far as passing game distribution is concerned. So, Brian, go back to you. I know you just got done talking, but back to you for more talking on the offensive line.
Yeah. So this game, obviously, we just kind of had bad luck. That helmet got stuck right into Elgton Jenkins' like clavicle, shoulder area, put him on a stinger. Not much you can do there other than, I don't know if the Eagles fire, like, yeah, we're going to smack him here or whatever. I think it was more of just a collision. I don't think there was necessarily anything too malicious there, just unfortunate. Overall, the offensive line this year, very good in the pass protection. Look, we had a really good running game, but that's a lot more credit to Josh Jacobs than it was the offensive line. They need to get better at run blocking. If they were better at run blocking, Josh Jacobs might have went for 1,500 yards.
I will say Josh Myers, I think, was kind of the weak link there, because like he was really, really good for some games, and then he was really, really bad for some games as far as run blocking.
So I'm unfortunate. I didn't see what his injury was. It didn't look very good.
It was a knee, wasn't it?
Like a minor injury, like not a serious leg injury.
Oh, okay.
Well, it was his ankle, but
yeah, that's good.
It was his knee or ankle. I remember watching the play.
Good for him, but I'm not necessarily.
I'm not married to him being back.
Yeah, I'm not.
They're bringing him back.
I'm okay with it.
You think so?
I'm not saying trash.
Our depth behind him is trash.
So I don't know. I mean, it's still
like a bring else in.
It's a long offseason.
I would consider going there.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if they brought someone in there.
They're not drafting a starting center.
Yeah. Yeah, well, look at some of these. I mean, some of these starting centers that got drafted this year have been really well. Graham Barton, the guy in Pittsburgh and stuff like that. Some of the players played pretty damn well. So, to me, it's just like we know what we have in Josh Myers. Do we just accept that and just sign him? I hope not. I hope that's not their mindset, because we just talked about how he was pretty much the weak link on the offensive line. So now you start looking at, well, can Elgton Jenkins move in and Jordan Morgan take that spot? You know, Travis Glover got into the game, didn't look great. Couldn't stop holding.
I would consider Sean Ryan at center and Jordan Morgan at right guard. Yeah, I'd consider that as well. Or Zach Tom. Like, there's tons of options. They don't have to just stick Josh Myers back.
I thought Sean Ryan really showed towards the second half of the year that he belongs in the starting lineup. He had a pretty damn good second half of the season. I think if twist my arm, I'd say he's the third best offensive lineman on our team right now. I do think they could.
I don't agree with that.
Still better.
I think Walker's still better.
Right. In my opinion, Sean Ryan's still the worst offensive lineman in our starting five.
No. Really? I think Josh Myers is.
No,
I would say Myers.
Yes.
Did you see what happened to our offense when we lost Josh Myers? Yeah, we were horrible.
Okay, but in their starting role, I think Josh Myers is the worst.
No. Yes. Absolutely not. Josh Myers had to go help Sean Ryan 90% of the time, and he could do that because Elgton Jenkins is so good at left guard. No, Sean Ryan is the worst.
No, I don't agree with that.
I don't agree either.
If you disagree, but you're wrong.
Bill wants to bring Myers back and draft somebody in the first three rounds.
So they have to do some shuffling. I feel like this offense line needs to get better. Maybe they I know you guys like Rashid Walker, but I feel like he's kind of there. But now, can they move him to right tackle? Probably not, because I don't think he performed very good at right tackle. But I feel like if they have an option, or if one of like a starting left tackle falls to them in the draft, they should absolutely draft them at that position and put them at that position if they play better, and just kind of look at what else they need to do. It's I'll put it this way. The unit it's not like great, but it's not what would cause us not to win the Super Bowl or go where we want to last next year. They are good enough. They're adequate is probably a good description for them right now.
So take this with a grain of salt, because it's PFF. Sean Ryan is graded as a better pass blocker than Josh Myers and a far better run blocker than Josh Myers. Again, no PFF grade, so take it with a grain of salt. But
that's good. They probably rank Malik Willis better than Jordan Love, too. You can look at that if you want.
God.
I will.
They
did not. as
just,
a runner.
Just yeah, just sit over there and be wrong, Jake. It's okay.
I'm not wrong.
Yeah, so to wrap that up, I would say we have an adequate offense line.
but they'll still add to it.
But if they have a chance to add something to it and make it better,
Justin. And we're still going to do offensive line for draft prep. We're going to cover all tackles, guards, and centers because the Packers will always be drafting them because they always draft them because that's how you maintain a good offensive line through years and not have a gaping hole that you know you need to fill in the next draft.
Do you remember 2 years ago when we did the offensive line and they didn't draft one?
Yeah, that was crazy, bro.
We did all of the draft. That's why they draft one dude.
But hey, Sean Ryan's here now, so.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm fine with Sean Ryan.
So, Simon, run game?
Yeah. Honestly, credit to Philly's defense. They played their run really well. And up until that, Josh Jacobs, just that was such a nasty touchdown. He got him down to the one, but whatever. That was such a nasty run by Josh.
You know what my favorite play part about that run was?
What's that? Yeah,
other than it wasn't a touchdown, it got a guy banned from the stadium and fired from his
job. Oh, was that during that play?
That was that play that he.
Oh,
was
I didn't know that.
Being short or whatever.
I just saw him call her a bunch of stuff he shouldn't have said.
Yeah. He's banned from Eagles games, and his job is saying that they're doing an investigation. And the Eagles sent those two like a bunch of Packers gear.
I can't imagine acting like that to like a complete stranger. I don't understand.
Dude, and a woman. Like, what are you doing, bro?
Yeah.
You're a whole row above her.
I've actually seen Eagles fans talking about it and being like, he's only acting tough because there's other Eagles fans there.
That whole thing was gross to watch.
I'm just going to say my favorite part of that run was that Cooper DeJean got completely ran over. Yeah. And every Packers fan in America that wanted him because he tackled Derrick Henry one time had to shut the hell up for a play. That was my favorite part of the play.
But, yeah, other than that, it was kind of a quiet day. I mean, he still ran the ball 25 times for 107 yards. Josh Jacobs forced 12 missed tackles. Like he had 81 yards and 74 yards after.
That's what I'm talking about. The offensive line needs to be better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to say it out loud, Justin. I cussed on here a little bit, but I wasn't going to say that word. But yeah, the craft shaft is ungodly. Goated. Like it's just bring that back next year. Sustain. Like it worked twice, and the one where he drug him like 8 yards, I was like, "Oh my god, dude!"
Yeah, more of that from the O line.
More of that. But yeah, run game next year. I don't see a lot of change in our running back room. To be honest, we have Emmanuel Wilson next year. I'm pretty sure, or he's a restricted free agent, right? I'm pretty sure. So we'll probably bring him back. I think Chris Brooks is in the same boat. Marshawn Lloyd, hope he comes back healthy next year. He had some unfortunate injuries during his year. He got stuck on IR. What was his deal? It was something stupid medical-wise.
He had appendicitis.
Appendicitis, that's what it was. Yeah, Dylan
is a free agent.
What's that? Oh, he's a free agent.
Is a free agent.
Oh, tough. Well, we'll see what they do with him. They might offer him something. I mean, he's still a good player. I don't know what they're going to do with him, to be honest with you. But even still, if he doesn't come back, I'm not that worried about our running back room.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll grab, another, late round guy or UDFA, fill that fourth spot if they want it, or keep Chris Brooks as the number three guy. He was a guy that kind of surprisingly came up this year and was like a
fantastic pass blocker.
Yeah, he was. I mean, even the run game, I thought he had some good runs this year too.
He was a good lead blocker in the running game.
Yeah,
yeah.
He was out wide a couple times too.
We shouldn't do anything in the running back room. I think we're pretty solid there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Justin brought up AJ Dillon gone. AJ Dillon might be done, like the SVU theme song. Like he might be done. But I've said this before. Like if AJ Dillon had Emmanuel Wilson's vision, he would have been a really good player. But I think he's kind of found his niche outside of football. So
I don't know if he does.
That joke, Jake? That's a good joke.
No, it was not.
Dude, that was so bad. It was good.
That was corny.
Immediately when you said it, I just heard the noise. Dun, dun.
That's what makes it a good joke. I don't care if you like that joke. That was a good joke. I don't care what you think.
Yeah, we'll see what the deal is with him next year. Yeah. I don't think the Packers probably not have any interest in bringing him back.
Yeah, especially if somebody offers to make Emmanuel Wilson their running back two or something.
But I do hope he lands somewhere if he does want to continue playing.
Yeah. Okay. Jake, how did you feel about third and fourth down offense? Anything specific to say there?
No, they're actually pretty efficient, but Phil's still laughing at the joke. We just obviously like them to stay ahead of the sticks. They were much better in the second half of the season. They did have some rough weeks. They also had some very efficient weeks, but getting yourself into a situation where you can use a play action or use a bootleg is really the goal. Someone throw an apple. Horrible joke.
That's a tomato, Jake.
Oh, looks like an apple to me.
No. Throw an apple. It's harder.
I mean, you can count that as an apple.
That's a terrible joke. Oh, shit.
Didn't know that was a tomato, my bad.
They're both fruits. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, red zone, same thing. Packers finished 10th in the NBA. Or in the NBA. Wow. NFL.
We're doing great over here.
We got to wrap this up.
Yeah.
10th in the NFL at 58.3%. Next year, I'd just like to see him in the top 7 or 8. Keep making progress. And speaking of progress, starting with Jordan Love, he did some really good things this year. He did some bad things this year as well. Before the playoff game, he didn't have a turnover for 7 straight games. So I don't understand how people can be like, oops, same old Jordan Love showing up in the playoffs. It's like the 7 games before that, he didn't have a single turnover-worthy play, much less an actual turnover. So I think that's just kind of one of those things where people are letting their emotions get the best of them and make them say dumb stuff. I think part of it, you know, my goal for him next year would be to be under 10 interceptions. And I think some of it is an experience thing, also not being afraid to take what you're given. And then I just wanted to look at the quarterbacks in his draft class. Look at the experience of some of these guys compared to Jordan Love. I mean, look at the regular season and the playoffs. The guys in his draft class, Joe Burrow, Tua, Justin Herbert, obviously Jordan Love, and then Jalen Hurts. Regular season starts, Burrow, 69. Nice.
Nice.
Tua, 62. Justin Herbert, 79. Jalen Hurts, 66. Jordan Love, 33. He's got almost 2 full seasons less of starting games other than what his draft mates have in the same amount of time. Steve said it, 35. He's got 36, so you were very close, Steve, if you include the playoffs. Playoff games, Burrow's got 7, Tua's got 1, Herbert has 2, Love has 3, and Hurts has 6. So out of these 5 quarterbacks, Joe Burrow's the clear number 1. There's no doubt about that at all. Not up for debate at all. But Tua, Herbert, Love, Hurts, I have no problem hearing an argument for Jordan Love being the second best quarterback in this draft class, having started half as many games as Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts may be on a better team, but there's not any part of me that would say Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback than Jordan Love.
It's close.
With twice as many starts. You don't think that Jordan Love can be better than Jalen Hurts is today with 33 more starts under his belt?
Well, let's be honest. Hurts has 2 wide receivers better than any wide receiver on our team.
Yep.
On top of that, he's
literally a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, and on top of that, don't get me wrong, Josh Jacobs is very good. Saquon Barkley is in a league of his own. If he's
number 1. Probably. If the MVP hadn't been disguised as the best quarterback award,
Saquon, one of the best offensive lines in the league is the Eagles has.
They might have the best offensive line in the league.
Next time, Detroit can help. Like
the Lions would probably be my pick, but
yeah, that's what I said. Yeah,
yeah.
It's like 1A, 1B. You know what I mean?
Potato, tomato, same thing.
Potato,
apples, tomatoes, same thing.
Yeah,
it looks like an apple. Okay.
Simon, anything else you want to say on Jordan Love?
It's actually a strawberry.
All right, we got to wrap this up. I got some words I got to get out.
It's an orange still on the tree.
Honestly, yeah, I mean, not Jordan Love's best performance, but I feel like the stats don't really tell the whole story either. That honestly, that Hail Mary was not a big deal to me. We had a 1:58 left on the clock. We had to get 2 touchdowns, and we only had 1 timeout left. You got to get the ball in the end zone and try to get the ball back with enough time to get in good position to give it a shot to win the game. So I wasn't overly mad. It was still pass interference. I don't care what anyone says.
Yep.
I don't understand how that was not called, but it is what it is.
Because it's that reffing crew who's heavily favored towards
you. Yeah, I know.
I tried to tell you guys, but nobody wanted to listen to me last week.
I never listened to you after
we looked it up.
He did say something about it, but yeah, I don't blame Love for that one. I thought the first interception was a better play by Darius Slay than it was a bad throw. I thought Darius Slay played that ball really well.
Maybe goes to get that ball. If I'm being blatant, like Romeo Doubs goes to get that ball in front of Slay instead of waiting for it to come to him. Like,
Wicks. Yeah. It was, I don't know.
Romeo Doubs be very aggressive on 50-50 balls.
Yeah.
It's an interesting plan to throw the deep go route to your slowest wide receiver on the team, but
the whole offense was just like tough sledding in the first half of that game. They couldn't get anything in rhythm and going. The holding penalties hurt a lot, and it was just an overall tough day. I'm really optimistic next year with bringing Jordan Love back. I have no cut him and trade him or whatever the part of the fan base that wants that stuff.
Steve asked, what do you make of Tom Brady saying again that the Packers receivers lack detail? I don't disagree.
I didn't even.
We were optimistic about going into the season is like we were optimistic of the growth we could see from the wider series, that it just didn't pan out the way that we thought it would.
And all 4 of them had issues at times.
Yep.
You know, obviously Watson and Dobbs with health, Reed with drops/fumbles, and Wicks with drops. I mean, and
Reed kind of being game planned out of the game plan, which was weird to me.
I'll say this.
I mean, Reed had drops of his own. Issues of his own too.
In my opinion, Wicks should have stacked Slay on that deep route. He had an opportunity to stack him.
That's a good call.
And there's a lot of people. I saw a lot of people being like, Rodgers would have won this game. Rodgers would have won this game. I'll tell you what. Rodgers is not throwing that ball to Dontavian Wicks because he did not stack the fucking DB. That's what Davante Adams got really, really good at. Which is what made Rodgers and Davante like an unstoppable duo. Is Davante learned exactly how to run the routes where Rodgers wanted him to, and that's the lack of detail that Tom Brady's talking about. And they're not running their routes at the right depth and stuff. I mean, people were talking about the interception that was thrown, the second interception to Bond, where they said the receiver ran, you know, too deep and he didn't cut in at the right hash mark, and Love is throwing it on time. It was a timing route, and Love threw it on time, and the receiver is in the wrong spot.
The other part of that second interception is Tucker Kraft fell down.
Yep.
Which allowed Zach Bond to go a little bit farther away from him, so that if Tucker Kraft is on his feet, Bond has to take 2 steps forward, not 2 steps backwards.
Yeah, true.
And again, when you're talking about timing, it's not so much that Jordan Love didn't see him. It's that the ball is already here on his fingertips, ready to come out of his hand when Jordan Love is seeing him.
Yeah.
Justin said, that said, the exact type of wide receiver core Brady took to the Super Bowls. I mean, he had sure-handed, knowledgeable wide receivers. Like, you talk about Julian Edelman's and Wes Welker type guys, like
Amendola.
Let's not disrespect Deion Branch, bro. Deion Branch was a dog back in the day.
I love Deion Branch.
He was a dog.
So I'm in that aspect, I am potentially interested in bringing in You know, maybe a veteran wide receiver. So, a really weird name that just popped into my head for some reason, but even a guy like a Jamison Crowder type player, you know, it doesn't have to be a flashy guy, but just experienced, consistent veteran type guy like that. I'd be interested.
You know how much this fan base would lose it if Jamison Crowder was the wide receiver he brought in.
Well, that's why
I think Christian, someone like Christian Kirk could be interesting too, but yeah.
Absolutely. That's another great one.
I'd be good with that. I mean,
Curtis Samuel keeps getting contracts in the NFL for a reason.
Yeah.
Fast.
Deontay Johnson, he can play for us. That's like,
oh dude, I possibly say that today. I was like, holy hell, dude. He's been on three teams in 1 year. You want him on ours?
Three teams in the last month, bro.
Yeah, it's true.
All right. He's been on more teams than he does have catches, or like it's just like barely over. It's like, dude, four catches, three teams or something.
If he keeps going, he's gonna be on the same amount of teams as Tyreek Hill's baby mamas, man.
All right, Ryan. Anything you want to say about Jordan Love?
No, I think you guys covered most of it. I mean, it was a bad game. Don't get me wrong, but when you're throwing to your fifth and sixth string wide receivers in a playoff game and high potential, and I mean, high stress situation, and you know, there's errors being made, that it's hard to compete. Yeah, not much to say there. So,
you know, it's funny. I have an Andre Rison jersey.
People saying he needs to be getting rid of, or we made a mistake signing him. I think that's stupid. Dude never got – they didn't really have a chance to get in a groove. He was injured all year, and then people were injured in and out all the time. Like, you know.
Yeah. Jake, anything else you want to say about Jordan Love?
He's really good. He's really athletic. He needs to fine-tune some of the fundamentals. He'll be fine. Also, don't listen to people that have opinions when their name sounds like a Key and Peele skit. So that's all I got to say.
What about Amber?
No.
Yeah.
Jake Amber Carlin knows more than
could have made better decisions.
All right. Well, with that said, we're going to move on to our top five reasons for optimism in the 2025 regular season. The most common one across the four of us, I have everybody's answers were sent to me, what their top five reasons for optimism are. I put them all together into a consensus list based on the ones that showed up the most often. The number one answer on all of our reasons to be optimistic is cap space. Yep. So the Packers, $18 million of David Bakhtiari comes off the books, $12 million of Aaron Jones comes off the books, $5 million from Savage and Rasul Douglas each comes off the books. That's all off the books. That's $63 million before restructures off that is available to the Packers in cap space. And there are players who are going to be restructured. Absolutely, 100%. So there will be more than $65 million, probably north of like $70 to $75 million for the Packers to play with in cap space this offseason.
About time.
It feels good. It feels good to not having to be sneaking Randall Cobb and Adrian Amos in on veteran minimum deals.
Wasn't like $20 million of it just used for the futures contracts and the roster bonuses?
It very well could be.
I think I read something
accurate as of Sunday.
Okay. I think I won't say 20 million because I can't remember, but we're still good in the cap. But that was the number, like four or five players hit their bonus amounts.
Figure about 12-ish for the draft class.
Yep.
So even if you want to take those things away, you're looking at 31 million before restructures.
And I, you know, we'll see what happens with Jaw too. That could open up some space, or they could restructure to open up some space there.
Yep. Okay. Number two. This is kind of a multi-layered thing, but it kind of all fits into the same category. Simon said a competitive roster. Jake said not many for Bryant. Actually, this is also Simon's. Not many free agents. Bryant brought up a good 2024 draft class. I put in here that the Packers were the second youngest team to ever make the playoffs. The youngest team was the 2023 Packers.
Yeah.
So the Packers this year and last year are the two youngest teams to ever make the playoffs. So my biggest thing with the Packers having a competitive roster, not many free agents to re-sign, and having a good draft class this past season is that we are not in a Super Bowl or bust mode. that we were in with Aaron Rodgers, where it was like Super Bowl or bust. That's where we were from 2020 to 2023. But now in 2024, 2025, we are not in a Super Bowl or bust moment. We are in the window is just opening. These guys are developing and they're already winning 11 games.
Yeah.
We're in year two of a rebuild and they won 11 games this year. One of the things that Bryant had on his list was that they didn't get into a really like major groove outside of, I would say, maybe the five games where they scored 30 points, but still won 11 games while having self-inflicted mistakes. And they still won 11 games. And people want to be like, oh, they were this close to being 0-6 in the division. They were also, if you flip all of the games that they lost by single digits, the Packers would have been 15-2. If they win all the games they lost in single possession games,
yep.
They'd win 15-2 as the youngest team in the league for the second year in a row. Third thing that we all had on our lists, Jeff Hafley. Looking at it, the Packers defense improved, not to mention bringing in guys like Edgerrin Cooper, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard. Obviously, Xavier McKinney is a first year all pro. With the Packers, there's plenty of things to like on the defense, and I brought it up last week with how many of the categories that they are top 10 or top 12 in that under Joe Barry were never even close to being. A second year in this system will do wonders for this defense, and they're going to add to it. Next thing, Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs is a top five, probably a top three running back in the NFL this year. He went on an absolute touchdown rampage over the second half of the season. Through the first half of the season, people were complaining that he wasn't scoring enough touchdowns. I know Simon hammered the drums on this, that he could go off on a run for touchdowns. And he broke a record that was previously set by Paul Hornung, of all people.
That's
the golden boy.
If that's a name you're breaking a record of, welcome to Green Bay. Sign the X on the line for the lifetime contract.
Yeah, I'm with it.
Like, we love Aaron Jones, but there is absolutely no denying that Josh Jacobs was an upgrade.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the season, we believed that they were kind of even, except for Josh Jacobs was a little bit younger. Today, no doubt Jacobs was an upgrade. And the last thing, this popped up on a couple, the 2025 NFL draft is being hosted in Green Bay. Jake had in his notes the statistic that five of the last seven draft hosts have made the playoffs, and you can't win a Super Bowl without making the playoffs. So there you have it, our consensus top five reasons for optimism going into the 2025 offseason. We are going to have a planning session here, and Jacob stayed healthy. That's an absolutely great point, Justin. Jacob stayed healthy. We are going to have a discussion session here on how we're going to attack the offseason as far as free agency and trading and drafts and as far as anything else for 2025 goes. We're probably going to have a couple week break here as far as Tuesday nights are concerned, but we will be back sooner than later. You're not going to not hear from us until the draft. We'll definitely be ramping up our Tuesday shows back on before the draft gets close. So we'll have all those discussions and we'll have some pop-up shows as well to discuss things over the summer and we get into preseason. So, we'll have some here and there Tuesday shows after the draft, but we'll be here. So keep an eye out for what we're going to be planning for the off season, and go Pack go as always.
Go Pack go.
Go Pack.